Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Well, hello, this is Chief Tim Wall with the Volunteer Chief Officer Section of the International Association of Fire Chiefs, better known as IFOS. Today we have a guest panel of four fire chiefs throughout the United States. We have with us Ed Mann, Commissioner from Pennsylvania, Chief Shane Ray from Tennessee, and a proud winner of the Volunteer Fire Chief of the Year. We have Chief James Grady from Illinois. And way out west, we have our good friend Chief Jim Wilson from Washington. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the VCOS podcast. And we're here with Radio at Firehouse with Firehouse.com. Today's subject matter is a challenge to everyone these days in the fire service, economic challenges, and how are we doing with our budget, the economic impact throughout the United States. One good information we've been receiving from President Obama and our federal legislators and our state legislators is the stimulus package does include information, does include some funding to the tune of about $210-220 million for the fire service to look at and engage and try to apply. So with that, I'd just like to welcome everyone. And why don't we just top up with a subject matter about the overall economics, the impact that this panel is facing. With that, I'd like to go to Chief Jim Grady from the Frankfort Fire District in Frankfort, Illinois. Welcome, Chief.
Hey, Tim. How you doing? Welcome, everybody. Boy, what a topic, huh? Like, there's nothing else to talk about out there, but this is the front burner. I think what's a prudent move and what everyone that I've been talking with is doing is taking a look to see that what we can cut back on, but what we need, what are those essential services that we have to deliver and the promises we've made to the public and then to our people. And I think if you take that two-pronged approach, you come up with somewhere in the middle that says, you know, the old adage, it still takes 100 pennies to make a dollar. And we have to keep that in mind. And our concern here in Frankfort and with my surrounding neighbors is that we don't want to just immediately cut fire prevention programs, public education programs, and we definitely don't want to take people off of our engines and ambulances in that. And as being a combination, moving more towards a career end, that's definitely in our mind. We have gone into, you know, turning off lights whenever we can. There's no need to always have the vehicles running if our companies are at our main station or at our training center where the vehicles are running outside trying to save on fuel the best we can. But I will tell you, one of the issues we did address immediately was we're not trading off going out and doing tours of buildings under construction and cutting back where we never take the trucks out except for emergency response. We still need to be very visible in the community, and we've maintained that commitment. The other part is that we're opening up a new station, and we're going to hire 15 career people. We've cut that back to 9. And we'll go with just an ALS engine company out of that station for the first 9 to 12 months, banking on that the economy will change and hopefully the tax dollars will start to roll back in. Our projection for next year, just with the consumer price index multiplier and our tax cap, is that we will lose probably about $340,000 to $360,000 of income that was taxable coming back to us. What we will pick up is any of the new growth, and even during these downtimes of economic conditions, we're still building, not building like we have been over the years, but we're still doing fairly well. So hopefully we can offset some of our costs with that. But gentlemen, what's your thoughts on what you're doing in your different areas?
Well, Chief Grady, thank you from Frankfort, Illinois, and let's go over to our Chief Jim Wilson out in Washington State.
Thank you, Chief Wall. I agree completely with Chief Grady. I think that in taking a real close look at all of our expenses, all of our revenues, we've tried to be as efficient as we possibly can, squeezing all of the efficiency out of every dollar that we have coming in and that we have going out. But at the same time, we try to draw a nexus directly to customer service on every one of our decisions, so that we're watching out for the level of service we're providing, as well as ensuring that we're getting maximum effect out of our expenses that we're spending on our members, to make sure that we don't disincentivize or lose them also. I think there are a lot of things, some things that we've done that have increased that efficiency. We've taken a look at all of our 13 fire stations and made sure that we've changed fluorescent lights where we've had incandescent lights, put in motion sensors for some of the exterior lights. We've weather stripped doors and windows to try to save on energy. A lot of those economical things that we can do to help make those dollars more efficient.
Thank you, Chief Wilson. And when I go to Commissioner Ed Mann and Chief Shane Ray, can you add something, you know, what you may be doing with your budget now, and, you know, what's your forecast for next year's budget, you know, 2010? And do we look, or do you think there's going to be let's look at training, impact on training. Not only what we're doing with our apparatus, as Chief Grady says about not, you know, running it when not needed, but then Chief Wilson talking about a little more energy efficient of firehouses. What about the impact of your budget now and next year? And let's deal with training. And I'll send that to Chief Shane Ray from Tennessee.
Well, dealing specifically with training, I don't expect any cuts in ours. That's one of those priority programs that if you commit to human resources and personnel development, which is important to provide a service to the citizen, we're not going to make any cuts in those areas. And just like Chief Grady said, we're not going to definitely cut in prevention, because those are front-end programs that the consequences are not seen till years later. It's probably an easy decision to make today, but the consequences are felt in the future. So I think one of our keys is the diversity in service. We have picked up some contracts to deliver building and fire inspection services to communities that surround us. So in these times when the building permits are down and there's not enough funding there for some of these cities to keep their building inspectors, we have been able to pick up some of those contracts to actually increase our budget. And that's where we have to, these opportunities, these times don't have to be negative. They can be opportunities to look at what services are you providing, better yet, what services are you prepared to provide. EMS is another one of those services that potentially there's some funding out there that if you're prepared to provide it, it could be an opportunity. And I think we have to take these times to take a hard look at ourselves. Get in there and analyze our programs, see what's efficient, and most of all, what's effective based on that efficiency finding, and prepare for the future. We've got some times now that are fairly slow. Let's prepare for when it comes back. I think that's the importance here. And look at some of those alternative funding methods. If you're donation dependent, look and see what your donations are doing. How dependent on those are you? So I think those are, while there may be seem like hard times, it's also times of opportunity.
That's putting a good spin on it, Chief Shane Ray. Ed Mann, what's the good state of Pennsylvania doing to?
Well, looking at it from two perspectives, with my hat as an assistant chief and a financial secretary with a small volunteer department, we're doing okay. We're not going to cut back when it comes to training. We recently renovated our building, finished the project in 2008, and did a great deal with energy efficiency, a lot of insulation, Energy Star appliances, light fixtures, so on and so forth. From the state perspective, we're currently in the middle of a budget shortfall for this current budget year, and we're looking as of just the other day, at about a $2.3 billion budget deficit going into to the state's next fiscal year, which would begin in July. So all state agencies have been asked to find ways to save. And we have been able, one of my responsibilities is the State Fire Academy. We have not reduced any of our resident training programs. We'll be okay with our local level fire training programs. The bottom line is, as it stands right now, we're able to take care of the legislative mandates that we have to provide services to the fire service in Pennsylvania. And as many of you know, we 2,400 plus volunteer fire companies. We have a pretty diverse fire service in PA. There are some of our cities that are experiencing problems, where stations are being closed right now because of budgets, and the fire chiefs and the local governments are trying to work through those issues. We've been fortunate, too, here at with the State Fire Academy. I've partnered with the International Association of Fire Chiefs in the Near Miss Reporting program. And recently, we entered into an agreement with those folks that they're using some of the DHS grant money they receive for the Near Miss program, and they're actually paying some of my adjunct instructors to deliver the Near Miss training programs across the Commonwealth. And to date, I think we've done 7 or 8 programs. We have 11 more scheduled, and we agreed that by May, we would have presented 22 of the programs across the Commonwealth. So firefighter safety being paramount to all of us, I've been able to leverage a program that the International Association of Fire Chiefs has in place to be able to continue to push the safety message here in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's good information to share with our panel, but also share with our listeners. And I know I am a proud member of the International Association of Fire Chiefs. It's, we are the leaders of the fire service, and that's a tremendous resource to be a member. And we encourage listeners to get involved with the IASC, and of course the VCOS is the Volunteer Combination Officer Section of the IASC. And we'll just go around first for a quick comment and closing to talk about some economic challenges and budgets that you want to add, or just go back to someone's comment. Chief Grady?
Just to close up on my end is that, we're being more conservative, and I think we're very conservative, but we have one fire station that's under construction now, and we are utilizing every energy-saving tip that we can for that station. And with the next one we're going to break ground on later this summer is for opening up next year. We'll continue to do that. But I really like, and I echo what I hear here from my constituents, is that we have not stopped training, and we have not stopped what we're delivering to our customer service, to our taxpayers. And I do think the fire service, we always learn to do more with less. And the other thing is we never give anything up, and that means responding to CO calls, responding to, any odors in the house. We're there. We're your one-stop shopping, and I think that just transcends through the whole fire service. But that's it.
Thank you, Chief Grady. That was a good comment, learning to do more with less as we all face that challenge. Chief Jim Wilson?
I'd like to go back and expand a little bit on what Chief Ray said and talking about services that we provide. I think it's really important for every fire department to examine those services that they're providing, such as inspection fees and plan check fees, to make sure that their fee structure is reflecting the true cost of doing business these days. Energy's going up dramatically. Labor costs, benefit costs are all impacting the way that we do business. And I think that the only way that we can continue to offer quality service is to make sure that when there's a fee structure in place, that it does reflect the true cost of doing business. I think that you can look at developer impact fees if you have them, your inspection fees, and even into the new relatively new concept of the fire service, and that's billing insurance companies for impacts on your level of service when a state or local authority authorizes that. I think one of the other things I'd like to add is that, in reflecting on Chief Grady, is that we're not cutting back on training and that we do continue to send people to seminars and training opportunities that will give them an opportunity to interact with other chief officers. One of those opportunities that I'd like to talk about is the Symposium in the Sun, sponsored by the Volunteer and Combination Chief Officers Section. It's November 5th to the 8th this year in Clearwater, Florida. And there's additional information on the VCOS website at iafc.org/VCOS.
Thank you, Chief Wilson. Chief Shane Ray down there in Tennessee. Anything to close out talking about the budget crisis and funding and trying to do more with little, as Chief Grady mentioned?
Well, thanks, Chief Wall. I think the concept is we have to do it different. Looking at these economic times, we have to do it different. And that is, we can't continue with the way we were in the past. And if we look at our career departments, some of those who are at stages further along in their community growth than we are, then we can take that and say, all right, there's opportunities for me. If I'm seeing these people lay off employees or cut back on their training services or fire prevention, then what are our options? And that's why in our community, when you look at what I call our tax tolerance, we know what the citizen's willing to pay and what effectiveness level we can provide for that cost. And in doing that, that's how we got in 2001, we started with the fact that we required residential fire sprinklers in all new construction. We used the policy and philosophy that said, you build it, you protect it. And that was surely because of the fact that it's not tax tolerable for our citizens to fund four-person staffing on an engine. So if we're going to deploy with two people on an engine, then I need to prevent flashover. And the only way I could do that was with early suppression through fixed fire protection systems. So we've been able to do that and cap some of those costs in the future, I think, until such time that the calls demand different. The other thing I think we have to look at is being responsive to the citizens are taking those proactive approach. And you can't create proactive policy in a vacuum. So now's the time to be planning for the future, not necessarily reacting to what's already occurred. So I think if the opportunity exists today to look at yourself and say, if you're operating as efficient as possible at the desired effectiveness, then the impact to you should be smaller today. So I think some of us that are seeing smaller impacts have probably created some decent policies in the past and as well as operating practices. And, Chief, I think there's some other things we need to look at here too as well, and that's with the particulars of the economic stimulus package in regard to SAFER and how that affects our volunteer and combination officer section members, as well as all volunteer and combination departments across the country. We need to take a look at that because there's some opportunities in there through the SAFER, as well as to look at this survey. The VCOS has a survey that we're taking a look at, collecting some data to see if we can put together a report on how best to help our members and volunteer and combination departments across the country to maybe make some of those proactive policy decisions.
Well, thank you, Chief Shane Ray, and once again congratulating on being Volunteer Fire Chief of the Year. And what year was that, Chief Shane Ray?
2005.
I give you a chief salute.
Thank you.
And we're going to go into the two other topics that Chief Shane Ray kind of mentioned in his closing, but I just want to close up with Commissioner Ed Mann from Pennsylvania. Any last suggestions, any last comment for the panel and also our listeners who are with us today on radio at Firehouse with firehouse.com?
Well, I agree with Chief Ray. I think we have to be proactive. We need to start looking, you know, because eventually the economy is going to recover, and I think we have to start planning for that now rather than you know, waiting until the economy's recovered and now, you know, everything is back to as normal as possible, and then we're trying to react to what we're going to do then. I do need to clarify something when I earlier mentioned about our training programs here in Pennsylvania. We did scale back on a program that we have with that's referred to as Academy on the Road. The bottom line is that we're able to take care of our basic mission at delivering training to the fire service in PA in Pennsylvania. The other thing I want to mention is, in spite of the fact that our economy and we're looking at a budget crisis in Pennsylvania, my office manages a $25 million grant program for volunteer fire and EMS, and that program will remain unscathed by the budget crisis because the money for that program comes from gaming revenue at racetracks where they've put machines and gambling machines in. So that program is still good. We also administer a 2% loan program to volunteer fire and EMS companies in Pennsylvania, and that's a self-sufficient program. It's funded by the payments that are made from the program. So those programs are alive and well for the fire service in PA, in spite of the fact that we're looking at a $2.3 billion budget deficit going into next year. And you know, we continue to do, you know, we're looking to the future and trying to plan for what we're going to be able to do once the economy straightens itself out. The bottom line is, I think, again, back to some comments that Chief Ray made, you know, fire departments have to take advantage of programs such as the Assistance to Fire Grant Program. They need to start laying the groundwork now for the $210 million that will be available for facilities. You know, and keep an eye on websites like firegrantsupport.com and the iChief's website. Sign up for the emails that iChief sends out on these legislative issues so you're ahead of the power curve rather than waiting for someone to tell you. You know about the stuff ahead of time.
Thank you, Commissioner Mann, for that direction and that advice. So just on this subject, just going back, we have to be proactive and look at our budgets and find creative ways to save some money here. Still be committed as a fire chief or a leader in the fire service that training is a must to keep firefighters up to date, also keep them safe. And be ready when the economy does turn around. Have some plans in place, whether it's construction, whether it's a possibly of a new engine or refurbish an engine. Just doing some strategic planning on finances, not just, sitting back on this year's budget. With that, I'd like to go into the topic that we've kind of talked on the panel. And we'll go, what's the new stimulus bill means to you, or what does the new stimulus bill mean for the fire service that President Obama has graciously and along with federal legislators continue to support and put out? With that, I'd like to maybe go with Chief Jim Wilson from Washington to what do you think the new stimulus means to you, Chief, and then to share with our panel and share with our listeners?
From my perspective, I have 13 fire stations, and 12 of them are in serious need of some kind of either replacement or repair. So to hear that there's some money in the stimulus package set aside specifically for fire station refurbishment and replacement, I think is encouraging to me. I'm looking forward this summer to seeing the guidelines for accessing that particular fund published. I was told by the FEMA representative that it will be administered through the AFG program and that hopefully by early summer they'll publish some guidelines on it and open up that application period. The other area that it's going to affect for me is that for the western states, there's a lot of fuel reduction money available through both the U.S. Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management, and we will be able to hire a 20-person hand crew that will be able to go out and go on to private property where currently state and federal resources can't and help people who are disabled or financially disadvantaged and can't do their 100-foot clearances around their homes. So we'll be able to extend that service to quite a few of our residents.
Thank you, Chief Wilson. With that, I'd like to go to Chief James Grady from Illinois.
Yes, I'll tell you what, we've been very aggressive with the grant program, and just me personally, I don't know, I guess if you can see a guy at my age doing a backflip, I'm glad that the money's still there and we're going to have access to it. Specifically, as I talked earlier about our construction of our new stations, we're looking at that if we can get any funding for the station that we're going to build on the east side of our district that's been in our comprehensive plan for a number of years, is that that's going to help us. It's going to help our taxpayers as far as either if we can get full money for bricks and mortar or some interest-free loan or however that's going to work out. But we were recipient of a 9-person grant for the SAFER, and that has worked well with our staffing. And actually, what it did is it really proved that this extra staffing worked as we increased the number of people in compliance with NFPA and the fire ground in an immediate time frame has gone to 100%. Now, I don't want to jinx that, but I can sit here today and say, boy, that's happened every single time we've had a working structure fire that we've met or exceeded the comp. As far as the continuation of the grants, we're always looking to change out the gear to get the latest, the best for our individuals, and then training opportunities. So I know we're going to continue to take advantage of that. And for the volunteer and combination departments in our area, I always encourage them to go for the into the SAFER, where they can look for recruitment and retention funding that can be given to them. And, you know, one department south of us got some money, and I want to say that they said they got about $12,000-$13,000, and the campaign program they were able to put together was really phenomenal, and that only was enhanced by, you know, holding a pancake breakfast or a spaghetti dinner type of a thing. So I am just elated that the funding is still going to be continued to the fire service, because we fought very hard for it for all these years.
Thank you, Chief Chief Grady. Chief Shane Ray. And the stimulus. What's the stimulus bill mean to Chief Shane Ray and his department and his surrounding community, Chief?
Well, the biggest thing is, like Ben said, with the opportunity for the infrastructure. If you gave us a $10 million tomorrow and said we could hire people, our stations aren't adequately equipped to house them. Therefore, we need to make those improvements. So the $210 million that's there for that is certainly going to be helpful. But also the SAFER, to waive the requirements, the matching requirements of the SAFER, is an opportunity for us to put on some additional full-time personnel. Now, our challenge in doing that, though, is to not put on personnel that we can't sustain the funding in the future. And I think we do that by looking around as we cannot go to a 24-48-hour shift and adequately staff our department. So we're going to have to look at some creative ways to help to provide service to our citizens, especially on the emergency response side of the house. Our only career people now are our fire marshal and fire prevention and recruitment and retention officer. So those services, we have to take a hard look at how do we balance the things we need with providing emergency response, which is what is priority with the SAFER, is putting those firefighters in the street. So this provides an excellent opportunity for 5 years of funding for that. And in doing that, we're going to have to make some hard analysis on our numbers, especially income and outputs in our budgets, because if we don't, we could make a mistake. Ask for too many. If you were awarded the grant, you'd get something that you couldn't afford in the future, or was going to have to place that burden upon the citizen.
And Chief Ray, that comment back that grant is available, but in the stimulus package that's going to be available, we've been hearing summertime, they're talking about $210 million for firehouse station construction.
Yes.
Okay.
And those are going to be for, again, the key to that's going to be for those places that are ready to go with that project. We got to remember, when you look at the state, that economic stimulus plan also includes money down to the state. And I know our governor here in Tennessee has just appointed someone to oversee that. And they call those shovel-ready projects. So there's not only the opportunity through the AFG program for some of that stimulus, You need to look at your states and see what they're doing. But also remember that these projects have got to be short-term. So if you are not ready to build, then you're going to be probably disadvantaged because of the intent of this money, and that intent is shovel-ready. Well, it takes a long time to get plans and professional drawings and architects and engineers and plan those stations. So those folks that are ready to go are going to be, it's just like the road package. Those that have projects that already are engineered and properly planned are going to be ahead of the game.
So not only talking with our panel here, we want to encourage our listeners to engage with their local and or, you know, the government appointee. As you mentioned, someone was appointed from Tennessee to manage that money, to be aware that there's approximately $9 billion of money that's been sent down to the state level, designated for state governors to fund public safety, education, and other government services. Is that correct, Chief Shainray?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Commissioner Ed Mann.
Well, one of the things that I've done, as I get information about the stimulus package, we continue to push it out to the fire service through it across the Pennsylvania through any medium that we can. And I have a rather extensive email list where I'll shotgun an email to get word out to the fire service. And then there are other people who pick it up and use their list servers and push it as well. Also, a year or so ago, I created about a 2.5-hour presentation that I do across the Commonwealth, that where I go in and talk about all of the various funding sources that are available, the fire prevention and safety grant, the SAFER grant, the AFG grant, other cost saving programs that Pennsylvania has, and much like they've done in Tennessee, our governor has appointed an individual that will manage the stimulus money that's coming to Pennsylvania. They've even created a website, which is recovery.pa.gov, that individuals can go in and hit a link and find out how individuals may be able to benefit from the stimulus package as well. And as Shane mentioned, you know, this is all on a short time frame. I mean, they're serious about getting this money into the economy as quickly as they can. So, you know, as much information as you can gather now, and stay on top of the things that you're going to have to do to comply to get this money, you need to do it now, because when it finally starts to hit the states, there's going to be a short turnaround on being able to get it into the economy and use it. I've suggested to fire chiefs that have called me, you know, call your U.S. congressmen, call your U.S. senators, and let them know that you want information as it becomes available. So you're prepared, to go after the money you might be entitled to.
Chief Mann, you bring up a good point. We'll close out this topic of the what the new stimulus bill means for us, for leaders of the fire service, for fire departments, and elected officials. That not only do we have to ask to get information, we should compliment our legislators and our elected officials for their help, their guidance, and continue to support the fire service, the emergency personnel to do our job every day. So in closing, we'll just on this topic, we'll just go right around. Chief Wilson, anything to add?
I think that Ed Mann is absolutely correct. The advanced planning for taking advantage of that stimulus money is really key. And I think we've all talked a little bit about the AFG and SAFER program, and I think that that's an underutilized program for a lot of fire departments. We've been successful with a SAFER grant for a four-year recruitment and retention program that funded over $450,000 over that four-year period for recruitment and retention. And I think it is an underutilized program that volunteer departments should take more advantage of.
Chief James Grady from Illinois.
Yeah, just two items then to go on with Ed and Shane were saying. Number one, when it comes to SAFER, our philosophy and processes here when it comes to budgeting for the SAFER is that when we hire someone and you raise your hand, we're making a commitment to you, your family, and the community. So what we do is we budget as if that money is not there if in the event there should, you know, something catastrophic happens and the money has to be taken out of the federal funding. The second thing is Illinois is doing the same as everybody else. Our new governor put together a website, recoveryillinois.gov, and that is where you submit your projects. And the priority are those shovel-ready projects. And for us, we're contemplating backing up the station that we're going to build on the east side. You know, do we back up a month just to make sure we can file for any state and or federal funding? But we've got all of our drawings done, our engineering, everything is really ready to go, other than the final annexation hearing, which is next month. So we hope we're positioned in a way where we can have access to this funding.
So once again, I'm hearing from the panel, and the suggestion is, you know, be ready, research the stimulus bill geared to the fire service, and be shovel ready, as Chief Shane Ray has commented on. And with that, Chief Shane Ray, anything else to close out and add on this matter?
I don't think so, Tim.
Commissioner Ed Mann.
Nothing further, Tim.
Okay, gentlemen, with that, why don't we go for a break?
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Well, welcome back to Radio at Firehouse with firehouse.com. My name is Chief Tim Wall from the North Farms Volunteer Fire Department, which is located in Wallingford, Connecticut. Chief Wall, I'm involved in a combination department here in Wallingford, and I also have the honor and distinct pleasure of serving as the VCOS chairman. VCOS stands for the Volunteer Combination Officers Section with the International Association of Fire Chiefs. And with us today, we have a panel of four fire chiefs located throughout the United States, and we'll quickly introduce each other and tell us a little bit where they're from. And Chief Jim Wilson from California.
Chief Jim Wilson, Mariposa County Fire Chief, Mariposa County, California. We're in the Sierra foothills and are the host county to Yosemite National Park. So a lot of our calls for service come as a result of our 4 million visitors a year that come through a very rural county. Our service is provided all by volunteers from 13 widely scattered stations over 1,450 square miles.
Welcome, Chief Wilson from California. Chief James Grady from Frankfort, Illinois.
Hi, Jim Grady, Chief with Frankfort, Illinois. I've been here for 33 years. We're a department that's a combination department, covering 50 square miles, in excess of 4,400 calls a year, and we're about 25 miles to the southwest of Chicago. For me personally, I'm on the VCOS Beyond Hoses and Helmets Leadership Instructor Team, and I am one of the past presidents of the Illinois Fire Chiefs Association. My presidency was 2000 to 2001.
Welcome, Chief Grady. Commissioner Ed Mann from Pennsylvania.
Ed Mann, I'm here, I guess, wearing two hats today. One is an assistant chief with a small volunteer fire department in central Pennsylvania, and also is the Pennsylvania State Fire Commissioner.
Welcome, Commissioner Man, appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Chief Shane Ray from Tennessee.
Yes, thank you, Chief Wall. Shane Ray, the volunteer fire chief in Pleasant View, Tennessee. We're a volunteer fire department. Our only career personnel are in prevention and recruitment and retention. We have a growing community just outside of Nashville here. Glad to be a part.
Welcome, Chief Ray. And we are here with Radio at Firehouse, with firehouse.com, having a discussion on money, budgets. What does the new stimulus bill mean for you? And we refer to you, the audience, and you means us in the fire service. As I mentioned, Tim Wall, chair of the VCOS, and we've been doing some information sharing with our membership. We're very geared to demonstrating leadership, education in various ways. The VCOS has a symposium each year. It's in November, located in Florida. There's information available on the IAFC website or the VCOS website. It's a great opportunity to come in for 3-4 days networking with a fellow chief officers from all over the United States. VCOS also offers a leadership management opportunity where for 8 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours, VCOS presenters would come in and give an educational opportunity to a fire department with their mutual aid friends invited. It can be done at an academy. The class is geared to students of 25 or more. And I believe on the call we do have two presenters. So quickly, Chief Grady, can you give just a brief overview of the Beyond Helmets and Hoses course?
Yes, it's a program that is financially spearheaded by Pierce Manufacturing, and we've delivered a number of courses throughout the last several years across the country. And we try to zero in on recruitment, retention, leadership, skills, management styles, and abilities. And also, with every program that's delivered, there is the local flavor that's put in as far as what is going on in your area. And then we take a look at that, and then we say, okay, now here's what's going on in the region, and here's the national impacts of the fire service as far as funding, budgets, anything like that. But we try to cover as many topics as humanly possible within that anywhere from 8 to 16-hour course venue. And it never fails. We'll never hit everything, but what we've done is we've allowed individuals to get together, and sometimes as neighbors have really never talked. But now they're getting together. They're together in the same room, and they're talking about common concerns and problems they have in their area. But we do thank Pierce and the International, and then obviously VCOS for all their support with this.
And Chief Grady, the key point is the sessions are more like a management leadership. It's not. We're not going to come out and tell you how to drive your apparatus or put your ladder up or you know how to do a CPR.
No. It's strictly driven at that second and third level on up within the fire service. So we do have the company officers and then your chief officers and command staff. So it's not a tactics and strategy session. It's more of tactics and strategy, I guess you would say, for leadership and management.
Thank you, Chief Grady. Chief Shane Ray, do you feel that's important in today's fire service and the volunteer in combination, the strategy and tactics on management?
Absolutely, and it's a fantastic program delivered by a lot of great people. It's custom to your department. When we first hosted that years ago here, they brought in two outside chiefs that were excellent instructors with a lot of experience that could relate to our personnel, and it just went fantastic. We had probably 200 people, I think, from all over the state. We had advertised and you know, it was a very, very good success. It still brings rewards to our area.
Thanks, Chief Shane Ray. Chief Wilson and Commissioner Mann, do you find that information, that education opportunity, would be beneficial to the volunteer in combination fire service and EMS personnel? Commissioner Mann.
Well, absolutely. I mean, any time, you know, it always seems to me, at least from my perspective at the state level, we always seem to be able to fill classrooms when we're doing programs that have something to do with, you know, firematics, you know, especially structural burn programs. We always seem to have a difficult time at filling seats when it comes to leadership type courses. And if, you know, I think part of the problem is that you can't be an expert in your own backyard. And when we can bring people in from other states to deliver a program that's been developed by the International Association of Fire Chiefs, it lends credence to the program, and I think we're able to put more people in seats when we do those types of programs.
Thanks, Commissioner Mann. Jim Wilson, closing out with Beyond Helmets and Hoses program that is available through the VCOS, Volunteer Combination Officer Section.
I was have been assigned to two different departments and have sponsored the Beyond Helmets and Hoses in both departments. In early 2001 with Mariposa County, and in 2002 in Washington, and both of those experiences proved to be extraordinarily beneficial to station captain level, battalion chief level, and administrative chief level. Both of those departments that hosted those, both on a regional and a local level, continue to benefit from the people, the experiences that they received in that class.
Thank you, Chief Wilson. And that's one of the programs that the VCOS offers to the fire service. And Tim Wall, I'm a proud member of the International Association of Fire Chiefs and have been for approximately 18 years. We encourage people to join the leaders of the fire service and get involved somehow, somewhere. And, of course, keep in mind the VCOS section of the International Association of Fire Chiefs. VCOS has also produced and put out documents that will help benefit and have helped benefit, we believe, by feedback, with running a volunteer fire department. We're running a combination fire department. We talked about management, talked about budget, which is a big topic on everybody's mind in coffee tables and maybe on the firehouse or fire trucks tailboard discussions. And we've worked with Chief Shane Ray from Tennessee to try to come up with a survey so in turn we can turn around and share it with our listeners and share it with the fire service. Chief Shane Ray, would you please give us some information about the survey and how do we get, and I'm sure the panel would have some comments and some suggestions. Welcome, Chief Shane Ray.
Thanks, Chief Wall, for the opportunity. We've had some great feedback. The survey has been sent out through the VCOS newsletter blast. We're working to continue to distribute that. If you can distribute it, that's great. We've had a great response so far in comparison to surveys. And as a result, we're seeing some good feedback that I think, hopefully, the intent of this project is to create another report. And as you were talking about, Chief Wall, you'd be proud to know that of the respondents, greater than 50% are familiar with the VCOS's white ribbon, blue ribbon, and red ribbon reports. So the blue ribbon report, which has been out the longest, the survey is indicating that 65% of the respondents are familiar with the blue ribbon report, which was the original report of the Volunteer and Combination Officers section. The survey also has shown that the primary interest, there was a question on there that asked the respondents to rank the challenges to their community's emergency service organizations. And naturally, especially during these times, it was no surprise that adequate and dependable revenue sources came back in as the greatest concern initially on reviewing this. So we haven't had time. The results are still coming in, but to date, we're looking at that as one of the primary concerns. And if we can create a report that gathers and captures the information that we have discussed here on the podcast, I think we can produce another great report that would be very helpful to those delivering the Beyond Hoses and Helmets in the field, as well as a general report to our membership.
Thank you, Chief Shane Ray. What is the time frame for the survey to be out? And I believe you may be giving a report or an update in November?
I would. We've got to get the report in, naturally, but our goal is to be able to prepare this for the symposium in the sun in November. So we'll keep the survey out as long as we can, try to run the data analysis and look at this, and then we get into the production of the report. So we'll keep it out there as long as possible, hopefully till the end of the spring or early summer, to get this information out there and get it compiled so we can have it for the symposium.
Chief Shane Ray, for our listeners and our panel, where can we get the survey? Is it posted somewhere on which website?
Well, we hope to have it up on the VCOS website, which is VCOSIAFC.org, VCOSIAFC.org.
Thank you, Chief Shane Ray. Chief Wilson, Commissioner Ed Mann, Chief Grady, your feeling on the ribbon reports and with the survey and maybe some of the questions Chief Ray has addressed and where we're going to go with it. Pros, cons, benefit, familiarization.
Chief Flood. Jim Grady here. I'll tell you, I think the reports are excellent. They're easy reading, and they're filled with just lots of good information, and there's also some great context in there. But I just have to say one thing about our VCOS website. Anyone who's listening to this podcast is that you can go to that website, and you go as you surf through everything, you can find anything that you need, in my opinion, for training, for leadership and management tips. It's almost truly a one-stop shopping. That combined with the other websites of the International and Firehouse and Fire Chief Fire Engineering, there's really no excuse for anyone who has access to a computer that they can't get the information they need from everywhere, from drills at the firehouse around the coffee table to budgeting and planning. So I just felt I'm compelled to say that I think the VCOS has really taken the lead with developing a site that gives all fire service personnel an opportunity to look for information.
Thank you, Chief Grady. Chief Jim Wilson from California.
I've used all three of those extensively, and then the fourth one that's just been released recently this year, December 2008, is the Orange Ribbon Report. And for any department that is leading and managing EMS in a volunteer and combination setting should also access that report. There's a lot of good information there. But in considering the first half of this podcast topic, and that is management of budgets in tough times, really like to talk a little bit about the White Ribbon Report, because that's specifically and very timely in what we've been talking about this entire podcast. It talks about managing the business of the fire department and human resource management, finances and budgets, and training. I think virtually all of those things that are overwhelmingly important in both good times and tough times. A lot of good information in the White Ribbon Report.
Thank you, Chief Wilson. Commissioner Ed Mann?
Well, I've used all three of the reports, and additionally, when I got the word of the survey, I completed the survey myself and then forwarded it through the email list that I have, and I've asked others to forward it, and I'll continue to do so to advertise the fact that once again, the International Association of Fire Chiefs through VCOS is trying to gather information that can be used to benefit the fire service as a whole. And then additionally, I think a lot of those reports can be used when fire chiefs are trying to make a point to their local government officials. It's as I said earlier, you can't be an expert in your own backyard, but when you can take a report from VCOS and the International Association of Fire Chiefs and be able to share it with local government officials, it puts a different spin on things, and sometimes it might be just enough spin to sway their opinion your way. My word to folks is take advantage of the reports, read them, and share them with local government officials, especially when you're engaged in conversations about staffing and the services that you provide to your constituents.
Thank you, Commissioner Ed Mann. And as we mentioned, we're here today with four leaders in the fire service on a national level and involved in their state very heavily. We're very fortunate, the VCOS is fortunate to work with radio at Firehouse with firehouse.com. And as we close out our podcast for today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask each chief on this panel one specific question, make a comment, and maybe give advice to our listeners. Chief Ed Mann, I know you have a passion of a few things, but one is firefighter safety, line of duty death, things of that nature. Could you, I'm sure there's not a short time to talk about that, but any advice, any guidance that you could offer to the panel and to our listeners? My understanding there was fire officials got together on some line of duty deaths and some safety issues. So, Commissioner Mann, please.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I was driven, if you will, to do more about line of duty deaths because historically Pennsylvania always seems to be at the top of the list in numbers. And in late 2004, I was able to work with Ron Sarnicki at the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation, and we worked hand-in-hand with them and created a partnership where the Courage to Be Safe So Everyone Goes Home program got started. And we continued to deliver that program in Pennsylvania. We've probably reached 9,000 firefighters in Pennsylvania with that program. And in spite of what's going on our budget, I continue to deliver the program personally as often as I can. We've also partnered with the International Association of Fire Chiefs Near Miss Reporting Program, and my hat's off to the work that Amy and John have done with that program. It's programs like those that are going to help us turn the numbers around. And while the numbers in Pennsylvania have not come down the way I'd like to see them come down, Charlie Dickinson, the former deputy administrator at the U.S. At the National Fire Academy, reminded me that, you know, maybe the numbers aren't down, but what we'll never know, because of things like near-miss reporting and the Courage to Be Safe program, we'll never know how many deaths we actually prevented. And I think we all have to keep that in mind. Maybe the numbers don't drop as quickly as we want them to, but I don't think any of us will actually ever know how many deaths we may have prevented because of those programs. And we can't get discouraged. We have to keep pushing the message. And I truly believe that both of those programs are slowly but surely changing some of the culture within the fire service across our country.
Commissioner Mann, thank you for what you do in Pennsylvania, and thank you for that message to our listeners and to the panel. I know you truly have a passion for that message, and you mentioned several organizations that we can get information, and as leaders of the fire service, we in turn can share it with our membership and with our fellow firefighters, our brothers and sisters. Excellent work by the Firefighter Near Miss Program, Courage to Be Safe, and of course, Firefighters Close Calls, our good friend, Chief Billy Goldfeder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chief Wilson, on any closing comment on budget, finances that you'd like to share with our listeners to do, to look at, strategic planning, plan for the future?
Well, I think it was mentioned several times earlier that as fire chiefs and fire administrators and representatives of our communities and providing quality emergency service to our customers, we have to not be sidetracked by the talk of bad economy and reducing budgets, but we have to keep our eye on the future, ensure that our training programs don't lack, that our safety and emphasis on firefighter safety don't wane, and that we do continue to look into the future long term so that 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down, the legacy that each one of us leaves in our communities and on our departments are the impact of continually improving customer service and not looking for ways to eliminate services.
Thank you, Chief Jim Wilson from California. Thank you for being with us today and sharing your knowledge and your assistance. Chief James Grady from Frankfort, Illinois, share some educational opportunities. We've kind of mentioned the VCOS, but there are other opportunities out there where leaders of the fire service, up-and-coming younger officers, to help bridge them and help prepare them for the future.
Well, naturally, obviously, the VCOS beyond hoses and helmets is near and dear to my heart because I'm an instructor in it, and there's just such an information sharing base there. The other area as far as training, and we mentioned it, I also sit as on the committee for Near Miss, is what a great training tool to print up a Near Miss Report of the Week and put that on the coffee table or bring that to the volunteer training sessions and just discuss what happened there and do that 2 to 3 minute drill. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? And discuss it. And don't overanalyze it and don't over critique it, but just discuss it, because you're going to find out that every one of us, whether you've been on in the fire service for a year or 30 years, you've had experiences, good, bad, or indifferent, and we need to share those. As far as continued education, there are so many conferences in that across the country, and one of the fellow chief officers on the line said that they have not cut back on their training and education. And I think that's just a pat on the back for every fire department that is doing everything they can to keep training available for our individuals that are in the organization. And that's at the local level, the state level, and then obviously at the national level if you can afford to send people to seminars. But with so much available on the web right now is that, we do have training opportunities, but you have to tie training in the classroom to going out and raising the ladders and using the saws and driving the equipment. And I think the more that we do that, the better we become. Also, we keep in mind that when the taxpayers, those that we serve, see us drilling and then out in the community, that sends that message that, we're operating safely and we're here for them. And I think the more that we can do that. Secondly, is I think we got to go back to really not reinventing, but patting ourselves on the back. What do I mean by that? We need to make sure we have a very strong PR program, that when we send individuals to academies or individuals within our organizations receive certification or they get their degrees, we need to make sure there's press releases and photos sent out. And we need to start rivaling the sports figures that are out there, where their pictures are always in the paper, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But I think for the fire service and our EMS providers, if someone completes something, we need to have something sent out so the community knows what we're doing and how we're spending their money. But there is a lot of information that's available through all the different websites, and there's really no reason why we can't come together with additional and enhanced education opportunities for everybody.
Thank you, Chief Grady. And thank you for what you do at Beyond Helmets and Hoses. And, of course, we can't forget the good work at Emmitsburg, Maryland, of the National Fire Academy that is available. We try very hard to promote the activities and the good educational opportunities that they do at the National Fire Academy located in Emmitsburg, Maryland.
Absolutely.
Chief Shane Ray from Tennessee, as we close out our podcast today with our panel. How about an overview of fire safety tips, I know you're involved in some other activities in gearing towards and promoting sprinklers, and there's a program that is offered.
Yes, thank you, Chief Wall. That program you're talking about is Fire Team USA. There's a lot of great resources out there to help you with what I would like to close out today, and that's called Do It Different. But Fire Team USA you can find it at fireteamusa.com. A lot of great resources there, just like at vcosifc.org. But I'd like to say, do it different and stay focused. Leading into the future is going to be a challenge because of all the times that are coming, but we got to be focused on the fact that it's not just about building fire stations, purchasing fire apparatus, and hiring personnel. It's about community risk reduction. Are we doing everything possible as efficiently, but most importantly, effectively, as we possibly can with the resources provided to us by the good citizens? And I think if we concentrate on that, we'll do well. We have a lot of tools available. You have to adopt building and fire codes for your communities. We have to have the new built environment to make sure everyone goes home, to limit that flashover, to limit risk to our firefighters in the future. The new built environment must be built to the current building and fire codes. And there's a movement underway that is going to continue for years to come, where there's special interest groups that are trying to take away a fire chief's right to adopt the best tools to provide fire and life safety protection in their community. And I encourage everyone to do it different, get involved in this process, and improve fire and life safety protection in our community by reducing the risk.
Thank you, Chief Shane Ray. Well, On behalf of Chief Wall and the VCOS, we'd like to thank Radio at Firehouse with Firehouse.com for the opportunity to be on. And the panel, once again, was Chief Jim Wilson, Chief James Grady, Commissioner Ed Mann, and Chief Shane Ray. Thank you all for being on the call today. And, of course, thank you for all what you do on a national level for the fire service. Chief Wall encourages everyone to stay safe. Thank you.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.